Matthew 6, 9b through 10, King James Version. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. From Luke 22:41-42, Common English Bible. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. He said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Larry, and you may all be seated. Well, I want to welcome you to the second week in our series, Pray Then in This Way, where we are exploring the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that we pray every Sunday, and one that which we are probably over-familiar. We think we know what it's all about. But as we discovered last week, and as we will discover today and in the weeks to come, it is so much deeper and more powerful than we can possibly know. So, I don't know what it is, church. This is a mystery, but this series has inspired my musical heart. So, we have more music trivia today, just like we did last week. Are you ready? All right. So, our song for today started out as a French love song, Comme l'habitude, which in English is as usual. This was a song that singer-songwriter Paul Anka actually purchased the rights for and wrote new words to give to a friend of his to sing. His friend did record that song, recorded it in one take, and in 1969, this song became number 27 on Billboard's Hot 100 and number 2 on the Easy Listening charts. This song became the signature song for Paul Anka's friend. And I'll share the last verse of this song, the crescendo of the song, to give you the final clue. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. Not to say the things that he truly feels, and not the word of someone who kneels. Let the record show I took all the blows and did it my way. Yes, this My Way was a signature song for Paul Anka's friend, the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra. But you know what Jesus teaches? Not my way, but thy way. So today we are going to be diving into the Lord's Prayer. I just want to let you know that this series is inspired by ideas from Reverend Adam Hamilton's book, The Lord's Prayer. If you want to dig deeper into what we talk about today, we have a small group that's meeting in Connect Room 1. They began last week. Actually, it's a large, small group, and you're welcome to go to that group, that class, after service today. So, when we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, one thing you need to know is that we are asking God to do something. Today, we're going to talk about two lines in that Lord's Prayer. I want you to say these lines with me as you remember it. Are you ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. Two lines, two petitions. Yes, petitions. Because we are asking God to make something happen. The first petition that we ask is, God, hallow your name. Hallow your name. Make your name holy. And what we discovered last week as we talked about that first petition is that as we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, then we focus our hearts, we train our hearts on that prayer, and that it isn't just that we are asking God to make God's name holy, but Lord, how can we be a part of that? How can your name be made holy through us, through the love we share, through the life that we share together? God, make your name holy. That's the first petition. That's what we're asking God to do. And today, we're going to talk about that second big petition. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As you said those words earlier, how did that make you feel? Just same old, same old? Well, I invite you to think again, because you need to realize what you just prayed. You asked God to do something mighty. And I just want you to take a step back and reflect on what you just asked. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you really want that to happen? All right, the Spice Girls, right? Is this what you want, what you really, really want? Truly, is this what you want? Because what you are asking God to do is for God's kingdom of love and peace and joy, which is not like the kingdoms of the earth, to be made manifest here. And that changes all the kingdoms of which we are a part of, and that we walk in, and that we live in each and every day. There are scholars that say this is really the crux of the Lord's Prayer. There are scholars that say this is actually what explains Jesus' ministry on earth. And every time that we pray the Lord's Prayer, we have to know that what is revealed to us is the chasm between heaven and earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today we're going to take a look at what it means for us to be used of God to help close that chasm. So thy kingdom come. I'm a citizen of the United States. I have never grown up with a king. Whatever presidents may think they've been kings, I don't know. But I've never had a king. You've never had a king. We live in a democratic republic. But we talk about the kingdom here. And the kingdom, friends, is something we need to think about. And we need to think about in the context of who God is. God is love. Amen? The God of love created us in love, to love. But God is beyond all that we know, right? God is beyond. And so we can't, to wrap our minds around who God is, then we have to use words. We have to use analogies and similes and metaphors. Love is a metaphor. Kingdom is a metaphor. What is that metaphor? Well, that metaphor is actually explained in Matthew. It says, thy kingdom come. Then Matthew says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where God's will is being done. Now, how many of you have watched The Chosen, a web series? There's a wonderful prayer that's shared there. Let's see if I can get it right here. Barak atah Adonai Elohim melech ha'olam. Which is, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. Despite which governments we've encountered on earth throughout history, all people of God recognize who is the true ruler of everything. Raise your hand if you know. Shout it out loud if you know it. God is the King of the universe, of all that is. Isn't that amazing? So why do we ask, well, not us, why does Jesus ask us to pray your kingdom come? If God is king of everything, isn't it already here? Well, the late Dallas Willard, one of my favorite biblical scholars, shares that, in looking at Matthew's description of the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of God, he says, that the kingdom of heaven is the range of God's effective will, or where God wants to happen, happens. But on this earth, that doesn't happen very much, does it? The Bible tells us so. The very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter, what happens? God creates us out of love, and he creates humanity, male and female together. And God gives us dominion over the earth to care, to be stewards of God's good earth, to take care of the earth for God, right? In God's will to do that. And then very soon what happens is that humanity rebels against that will. Adam and Eve don't trust God's judgment. They take a bite of some forbidden fruit, and they're expelled from paradise. Not God's will, Adam and Eve's will. Very next chapter, we find out they had kids, Cain and Abel, but they don't get along. Cain becomes jealous of Abel, and he kills Abel. His very blood cries from the ground. Not God's will, Cain's will. Later in that chapter, we hear the descendants of Cain and a man who, with multiple wives named Lamech, brags to his wives, "I have killed a man and many men." Not God's will, Lamech's will. And then, chapter 6, and there are bunches of chapters in Genesis. Chapter 6, humanity has fallen so far away from God's will that a decision is made to flood the earth, to reset. Not God's will, but humanity's will toward evil. The Bible continues to tell us that after that reset, that humanity still struggles. And God is still patiently working with all of humanity. In the fullness of time, a man is born of a woman, Jesus Christ, who changes everything for us. And yet we still struggle. Even to this day. Adam Hamilton in his book shares a statistic that over 100 million people, 100 million people, wrap your minds around that number, 100 million people were killed in the wars of the 20th century. And so much more were killed by starvation and malnutrition. The statistics haven't been fully written for the 21st century. We have a lot of years yet, but we seemingly are in a race to match and go beyond. Somehow we have this violent streak in us, this hurtful streak in us. The Apostle Paul, boy, I love how he puts it. In the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 18 to 19. See if this doesn't describe your life. "I know that good doesn't live in me, that is, in my body. The desire to do good is inside me, but I can't do it. I don't do the good that I want to do, but I do the evil that I don't want to do." Friends, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, then what we can do is that we can begin to feel God at work in our heart to repair that bent toward breaking God's will. The chasm can begin to close. So what does the kingdom of heaven, what does the kingdom of God look like? Well, we have the perfect model. And that's Jesus Christ. The fully human, the fully divine Jesus Christ, God incarnate in history. Jesus' ministry on this earth of teaching and healing and preaching. Then we get that picture of what the kingdom of heaven is, because Jesus isn't just preaching and teaching and healing, he embodies the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. When people see Jesus coming, when they experience Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has come near. Can you see that? Jesus and the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are this. And we see this in what Jesus does. Jürgen Moltmann's one of my favorite theologians, and he says, you know, if you're looking for ways to see how Jesus embodies the kingdom, we'll consider this. First of all, his parables. his parables of the kingdom, where he says that the kingdom starts out small and then grows large. And the kingdom is like leaven that goes out throughout the kingdom. And the kingdom is so many things, but what the kingdom is really the new creation of God's world, God's rule of justice and love and wholeness, which is counter to the world's systems of injustice and violence and hatred. We hear that in Jesus' parables. In Jesus healing people. You know, we read about Jesus' healing, we think, well, what great miracles. Spit in some mud, put it on some eyes. To be able to touch, to heal at a distance, your daughter has been made well. All these different ways that Jesus heals, but what Jesus is doing is not just healing the physical condition, but he is healing the whole person. He is bringing them together, not only in their full individual selves, but he brings them into community. Because when you are sick, when you are hurting, you are cut off. How many of you have been sick, and isn't that the most lonely feeling you can have? And you know people love you. But you know, people don't always get to visit you when you're feeling sick, and it becomes lonely and it hurts. Jesus brought people life in his healing. Another way that Jesus was able to show the kingdom was in who he ate with. We need to talk about that more. Jesus loved to party, and he liked to party with all those that other people found were bad. They were not righteous, they were unjust. You know what? Jesus justified in who he ate with. Those that were unjust, those who were unrighteous, he made them right. He made them just. Because Jesus was the kingdom brought to bear. And finally, in the Sermon on the Mount, of which Matthew's prayer, the Lord's Prayer, his version, comes from. If you read that whole Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 through 7, friends, then you get a picture of the kingdom that Jesus spells out very well. And I invite you to do that. Homework, but it's good for you. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, isn't fully here yet, right? If God's kingdom was fully here yet, we wouldn't have a war in Ukraine, which, by the way, is not God's will. I've read so many people saying this is God's will. It is not God's will for people to be murdered in Ukraine, to force soldiers in Russia who don't want to fight to fight. That's Putin's will. I'm sorry, I digress. But the kingdom isn't fully here yet. That happens when Jesus comes again, and we can't wait for that to happen. I know some of you are going, that sounds scary, Revelation. But we want Jesus to come back because God's will is done. God's kingdom has come. But you know what? God's kingdom is breaking in right now. It is the here and not yet. And where does God's kingdom break in? Well, when God's will is done, when we bring a people together and we are part of God's work. This past week, I mean, church, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes of a church. This past week, through the wonders of Facebook Messenger, I was able to connect with a family, with kids, homeless. And, you know, my first thing as a pastor is, oh man, we have nothing here in Cass County. But we do. I contacted my brother in Christ, David Noble, of the Ministerial Alliance. We were able to help with that family to find a place to stay, but not just a temporary place to stay, but later a more permanent place to stay. And not only that, found out this family had clothing needs. You know, it would have been something for me to put something out on Facebook and invited you all to provide clothing. But you know, we just didn't have the time. They needed clothing right then. And it takes time to communicate with y'all. And so we were able to take care of that. I'll say David was able to take care of that. I was only the in-between. But as all things were done, That's a witness. The kingdom of heaven has come near because we are bringing wholeness to people. You're a part of that. That's who we are, because we're the body of Christ. We embody Jesus, who embodies the kingdom of heaven. Friends, when you turn your hearts to Jesus Christ, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, then you make a decision. You go from my to thy. You go from mine to thine. That's what you do. So when you pray and you seek and you will find, and you ask, and it will be given to you. Hey guys, I think you need, there you go. Whenever that happens, you're not asking for my and mine. You're asking in thy and thine. Because you're asking in the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many times we think that God is some sort of cosmic Santa Claus gift machine up in the clouds that will give us what we want. It doesn't work like that. We are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. My kingdom come. And so, friends, as we realize the power of what we're asking here and the decision we make for thy and thine, then I want you to add this to your spiritual discipline. Last week I asked, as you were praying to be used of God, to hallow God's name, that you would engage in the practice of the early Christians, which is to pray the Lord's Prayer three times each day, at morning, midday, and afternoon, or whenever you could, but three times each day. Let that prayer get into your soul. Today, what I would ask, as you continue that discipline of praying three times a day, or more if you'd like, is to emphasize the words, thy. Hallow thy name, not my name. Hallow thy name. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will, not my will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine, not mine, is the glory. Let that sink into your hearts. Let that change your life as you give your heart more and more to Jesus. And behold, as the chasm begins to close, we witness the kingdom breaking in now as we get ready to celebrate when Jesus comes again and it becomes more fully known. And all God's people said, amen.